On this Friday, let's check the weather forecast. We're now joined by Eric Snodgrass. Thanks so much, Eric. How are things at Nutrien Ag Solutions and Agrible with you?
Hey, things are going pretty well. We're into a pretty interesting growing season this year, certainly a far cry from last year. So whole new set of issues to deal with in terms of the weather.
Speaking of which, my understanding from meteorologists is that this, for the United States, is one of the toughest times of the year to predict weather, especially in the Midwest.
Yeah, and it actually extends across the whole of the Northern Hemisphere. So why we say that is because midsummer time period, the jet stream moves pretty far to the north. We end up getting much more stagnant winds. So our strongest jet stream winds, which is really what drives everything, right? The strongest jet stream winds are in winter. So you can look at a really cool plot that shows predictability of weather systems and how far out we can predict them. And this is always the time of year where things are the worst. And so we kind of hang on these model runs that go out 10, 15 days. In reality, we should be wary of anything beyond about 10 days in the forecast time period, just because of how difficult it is to predict it when the flow in the upper levels of the atmosphere, by all means, is stagnant and pretty far to the north.
On that note, I was looking at the drought monitor this week from July the 14th. There was a pretty good spot in central Illinois near Peoria that appeared to be developing drought. And then, of course, the spike that goes from central Illinois to the southwest. I know that the Morton Peoria area received just a deluge of rain, something like 5.5 inches this week. However, one of the other places that's been difficult is western Iowa. How did we do on alleviating all those dry areas over the last week?
Yeah, so when you think about what was going on with the drought monitor, which is an extremely valuable tool, it's produced on Tuesday and released to the public on Thursday. So the data that go into it are valid through the Tuesday of that given week. So all the heavy rains that came in after it were, of course, not included. And so you had a place in central Illinois that had shown up drier than normal over the last month or so. And then all of a sudden, we put in one slow-moving storm system that just flooded out a huge section of middle part of Illinois with 3 to 6 inches, and it was just wet. That same storm system moved through us, went through parts of southern Iowa and northern Missouri. And I got some folks out there that confirmed 8 to 9 inches of rain in northern Missouri and a very small clipped portion of Nebraska. But you're right, that central and western Iowa area is kind of the last stronghold of where over the last month we've had much drier than average conditions. And so the critical thing that's going to happen this weekend is yet another one of these, you know, very weak frontal boundaries from a storm track going through Canada, where the jet stream is now, is just going to try to get through that part of the Corn Belt right there in the central and western Corn Belt. And it's expected just to stall out a bit early next week. So you look at all these precipitation maps, and right there in the last stronghold of broad drought, you know, big area of drought or drier conditions, we're now seeing that the models want to put down 1.5 inches of rain. It would be kind of like those rains that just come in at the right time to just prevent a crop from going really bad in that part of Iowa. So that's it. That's the major feature that I think most people are going to be watching over the next 5 days, is how much rain does that section of Iowa get? And do the little pockets of drought that are in parts of Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, Michigan, do they get some decent thunderstorm activity too over the next 4 to 5 days that can start to chip away at the really freckled nature to drought across the eastern Corn Belt?
Starting tomorrow, right here in our part of the world, it feels like temperatures are just going to be awful. Can you tell me about the heat?
Yeah, well, the feels like temperatures are for us and what we feel like. So the actual temperatures are going to be, you know, in the low 90s, but with the humidity, I mean, the wide open Gulf of Mexico moisture transport, plus the effectiveness of the way that the corn and soybean crop transpire that moisture, we're going to have high heat index values. It's going to be disgusting. Air conditioners are going to get a workout because of this. And but we just keep getting right up to the edge of where this heat could be problematic for a crop here in the midsection of the country. So we get into the low 90s, maybe a day that hits 95, but we're not stringing together days of 97 to 105. We're not seeing any of that. All that heat is in the southern plains, where they've already been baked since, gosh, go back to early June. So it's a very strange way by which we're accumulating heat. And we are keeping very warm overnight lows during this, because the higher that humidity, the harder it is to get those overnight low temperatures to really bottom out.
Are there any big weather impacting systems on the planet that you're watching at this point, La Nina, El Nino, those sorts of things?
Yeah, I think the two most dominant factors to our west would be the struggling La Nina. I mean, it just cannot get its act together to give us anything more than just this kind of little pathetic attempt at getting some cooler water in place. The trade winds at times keep strengthening, which is La Nina-like. The momentum of the atmosphere slowed down, which is La Nina-like. But it's only been in the tropics. And to be honest with you, it's not due to La Nina. It's due to this other thing, the MJO getting stuck over parts of Africa. Now, from there, look at the North Central Pacific. It's very warm in the North Central Pacific. And that warm blob of water, we need to keep it right where it is. Because if it stays there, while the jet stream stays north of it, it will prevent our weather patterns from going highly amplified into huge ridges and huge troughs, which could get stuck and give us drought in some places and flooding in other. As long as we keep this jet stream, albeit weak, but keep it zonal, more west to east, our chances of avoiding problematic drought situations as we move into, well, of course, the rest of July, but August and September, those probabilities go down. So we're going to watch all that very carefully.
Speaking of August, what are your predictions, or what do you think will be coming? Do we have any indications from the models?
We do. And at this point, you know, when we look out at the models, we have to also remember that the atmosphere is actually set up in a way that it could very easily get hot and dry. But right now, the models want no part of the dry. And what I mean is they have not shut down the Gulf transport of moisture. And so when you look out there for the whole of the month of August, the whole of the Corn Belt right now looks stormy and hot and high humidity. So will that push the crop along quickly? Yes. Will people get drinks of water when they need it? Yes. Will the markets look at that and see problems? I don't think so. But I'm not a market expert. I leave that up to you, Todd. But, you know, overall, I think that August is going to just continue with hot and steamy conditions. But I'm going to say this. We see this every year. Usually, at some point as we work our way through the end of July and into August, the models give us a scare, right? Whether it happens or not, they give us a scare. Oh, all of a sudden, 10 to 12 days of dryness, I'm sure they're going to do that again. Whether or not it materializes or not, I think is still way up in the air.
Hey, thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Eric Snodgrass is with Nutrien Ag Solutions, joins us on this Friday afternoon for the closing market report. Stay with us. Commodity Week is up next.